Love one another as I have loved you. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
And that was Joan Chiffo, my lovely bride, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus. Oh, that was great, Joan. Joan is my co-host, and I just want to open the show as they open all my shows and telling everyone that this show is in loving memory of my co-founder and my partner, Dr. John Palmer, who I love dearly and I miss dearly. And it was his idea and my idea to start a legacy, to start a grassroots radio show program, a program that is grassroots, and it touches all the dioceses within the area, and it has no basic foundation except to spread the love of Jesus, to spread the love to Jesus in a grassroots manner, in a manner that is so down to earth, so simple, but yet so loving. And so that's what we're trying to do. This is a grassroots program, and we want to keep Dr. Palmer's legacy alive through this program as much as we can. We're celebrating our 5th anniversary. We thank everyone for their donations, no matter how big, how small. Every donation is a help to keep us going. And so if you would like to make a donation, you can go onto our website, listenup.net, and go to Contribute Now, or you can just mail a check in to Listen Up, 1827 Flushing Avenue, Ridgewood, New York, 11385. Or when you see me, just hand me a buck or two and we'll use the donation. And each donation, believe me, each donor receives a thank you letter, a picture of Dr. Palmer, a sincere information on the program, and also the business plan of the program. And just so you know, every penny that's donated, now I know this is a pitch and all that, but every penny that's donated to the radio show goes strictly to paying for the cost of the radio show to this WGBB radio station. And we want to keep the legacy going as much as we can, and whatever it is, $1, $2, $5, $10, $20, $100, we've had some nice contributions, so we thank you so much. Our guest is, our show is a little different today. We're going to talk about the scriptures. We're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to talk about what are the scriptures and who wrote the Bible. And we have an expert who's running late. She should be here any minute now. And she's going to tell us things about the scriptures and the Bible and the readings that we probably never even knew of. So, Barbara Campbell's her name, and we're anxiously waiting for her arrival here. And, but in the meantime, let's get on with the show. Let's start with the readings. John, I think maybe we should start with the readings. What do you think?
First reading, I think so.
So this is tomorrow's first reading that Joan is going to read. It's best she read it because I was born in Brooklyn and I have a Brooklyn accent.
I was born in Brooklyn too.
Yeah, but you had that Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
I love it. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay, you know, the readings lead up to the story of the gospel, and we had a priest, Father O'Rourke, who was a wonderful priest who used to be in our prayer group with us, and he kind of got us into really understanding that these readings are important. So Ben, we're going to talk about scriptures, and tomorrow's gospel, we'll start with the first reading, and that is from Acts 14, 21 to 27. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to preserve the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord, in whom we had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went to Attalia, and from there to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done for them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord.
Oh, that was beautifully read, John. You would have considered being a lector.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, do. By the way, I'll be lecturing at the 8 o'clock Mass tonight if you want to come and say hello to me. By all means, do come and say hello. I love it when you come and say hello to me and you say to me, "I listen to your show." You get a free hug for that. So that was our first reading. Let's see if we can tie this in now with our second reading.
The second reading is very interesting. Second reading is from Revelations 21, 1-5. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, no wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
So, until the expert gets here, Joan, what's your thoughts about that reading?
About the second
reading? Yeah, what's your thought about the second reading?
Well, it seems they're talking about the end of the world. They're talking about when there will only be a heaven and an earth, and that all people will have God with them all the time. It's very hard to understand that, but it is from Revelation.
But so now you also, Joan, I have to tell you, Joan is the co-host, and she does a lot of preparatory work on the show, for the show. So she did has researched it, and she has come up with a little explanation about today's readings, a reflection.
Okay.
So, Joan, why don't we, you know, as we're waiting, anxiously waiting with bated breath for Campbell to come,
Barbara
to come, why don't you read the reflection for today? It's a two-minute reflection that we read at every program.
Okay. This is a reflection by Scott Hahn on the fifth Sunday of Easter. By God's goodness and compassion, the doors of his kingdom have been opened to all who have faith, Jew or Gentile. That's the good news Paul and Barnabas proclaimed in today's first reading. With the coming of the church, the New Jerusalem, John sees in today's second reading, God is making all things new. In his church, the old order of death is passing away, and God for all time is making his dwelling with the human race, so that all peoples will be his people, and God himself will always be with them. In this, the promises made through the prophets are accomplished. The church is the kingdom of all ages, that we sing about in today's psalm. That's why we see the apostles, under the guidance of the Spirit, ordaining presbyters or priests, and other priests, anointed priests and bishops will be the apostles' successors, ensuring that the church's dominion endures through all generations. Note that the New American Bible translates episcopus, the Greek word for bishops, as overseers. Until the end of time, the church will declare to the world God's mighty deeds, his blessings and his holy name, and giving him thanks, singing of the glories of his kingdom. In his church, we know ourselves as his faithful ones, as those Jesus calls my little children in today's gospel. We live by the new law, the new commandment that he gave us in his final hours. The love that he commands of us is no human love, but a supernatural love. We love each other as Jesus loved us in suffering and dying for us. We love to imitate his love. This kind of love is only made possible by the Spirit poured out into our hearts at baptism, renewed in the sacrifice his priests offer at every Mass. By our love, we glorify the Father, and by our love, all peoples will know that we are his people and that he is our God. Yours in Christ, Scott Hahn.
So, Scott Hahn, Dr. Hahn, who I do read every week also, and I also read a reflection from one of our clergy that follows our show regularly, and so I switch you off every once in a while between Dr. Hahn and Rudy Cross. And Joan, you have another reading you want to
do? Well, the gospel.
Well,
do you want to wait for that?
Let's wait a few minutes for
okay,
that. But
sure.
In the meantime, while we're waiting with bated breath, Barbara, if you're listening, why don't we play a song that reflects today's readings, and it's called If We Only Have Love.
We only have love. We will never.
Love. What a song.
Beautiful.
Love. What do you think she means by if we only have love, John?
Well, I think she's kind of talking about this, the way the gospel speaks about love, that if we have love that correlates to what God is doing for us, how he loves us, and how the Father loved him, that's the love we are talking about.
So the love is a pure love. It's not just infatuation type of love, or like they say in the Greek, has three different types of love.
Agape love?
Agape, yes.
Yeah, agape love.
Oh, you're so smart. Boy, I pick out some co-hosts that are blessed. But when we say love, we're saying pure love. I mean, like, did you ever talk to someone religiously, and as you were talking to someone, you actually felt the love in their heart and tried to make them feel the love in your heart?
Yes, I have.
And what kind of experience has that been for you?
Well, it makes me more spiritual by hearing someone else saying how they feel about God and how the love shows through them. It just comes into my heart, and then
so it's transferable.
Is
what I'm trying to get at.
Yes,
it's actually transferable, and actually lifts from one heart
to
another heart to another heart.
And that's how we spread the word.
So if we can transpose that love to other people's hearts, what do you think we got going on here? We got a marathon. We have a marathon of love that Jesus is trying to spread.
That's right. That's just exactly what he wants. A new world for us.
And in this new world, as I'm hearing it, it's going to be full of love.
Right.
And so this
only God as our Father, God will be with us. It's hard to understand, but we'll be with God always. And there will only be heaven and earth.
I'm reading John 13, where he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." And I'm also reading in Romans 12:9, where he says, "Let love be without dissimulation, harbor that which is evil, and that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another with true love." And the Bible goes on and on. The theologian says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And in 1 John he says, he that loveth his brother in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him, is true love. And so this is all about Jesus' love for us.
That's right.
And the reading. And hallelujah! Praise the Lord!
Hi!
There she is.
Barbara is here.
Barbara Campbell is here. All right, Barbara, I'm so happy you came just at the right time. You see, the Holy Spirit works in very, very, very unusual ways. Make yourself comfortable. Make yourself at home. Would you like something to drink? Or would you like water or something?
No, I'm okay, Tony.
Get yourself set.
Alrighty.
Because we've got some hard questions for you.
Oh, really?
Now, just so you know, I'm going to let Bob, I'm going to let Joan actually introduce you, because your reputation actually precedes yourself, and your knowledge of the scriptures, and your knowledge of what the scriptures are all about and what they're trying to say is really embracing and really should be expressed to the listeners, because I know there are a lot of listeners that don't understand it. So Joan, I know you've been to some of Barbara's lectures and talks. Hi!
Hello.
We have another guest. As a matter of fact, a celebrity. Come on in, sit down.
Barbara's daughter, Danielle Campbell, just walked in. So we have another guest now.
And Danielle Campbell is a very well-liked news reporter on Channel 12. And actually, I think she's Joan's favorite, because she's always got that station on at the time that Barbara's on. So, Barbara, welcome, and thank you so much for coming.
Oh, you look great.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks for having us.
It's our honor and our pleasure to have you guys. And, I just want to preface, you're a fine example of a mother and daughter relationship where the relationship between the mother and daughter is so astounding and so close that it
she had me when she was 12.
But I'm saying in my heart, it's heartwarming to know that there are such relationships between mothers and daughters and mothers and sons and fathers and sons and how close they are. And the reason why I'm so in awe is because, you know, I don't want to brag, but Joan has that, Joan has, I think, that same relationship with my daughter, Anne-Marie. The same type of closeness and relationship. And I know, I shouldn't say this, but I know 7 o'clock every evening, give or take some, the phone's going to ring, and it's going to be my daughter, Anne-Marie, calling my wife, Joan. I think sometimes she asks this for me, I'm not sure. But but it's so heartwarming to know.
Oh, yeah, Dad.
It's so heartwarming to know that there are those types of relationships that are brilliant.
I don't know if I had a choice.
Well, no. Well, it's mothers.
No, we're very
it's amazing that the mother and daughter, mother and son, father and son, develop such beautiful relationships.
My sons are going to get mad now.
And, wait a minute, wait.
Yeah,
I didn't forget. Michael and Anthony also are on the phone, I would say, several times a week.
Texting.
Joan is a great, Joan became a great texter to the kids.
Good.
And so Michael's is constantly texting, and Anthony's constantly texting, and once in a while they'll throw me a text, but it's okay. But we love it. You know what? Yes, thank heaven for texting. Thanks heaven for the relationships that the electronic world has established for us to keep in communication with our kids and with our siblings. And I hate to take all the time, but it's heartwarming.
Yeah.
It really is.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
So, Joan.
Yes.
Throwing it over to you now, baby.
What?
What questions you got for...
Oh, you know, Barbara, we were just reading. We read the first reading and the second reading, and we did a little bit from Scott Hahn on his reflection, but it was mostly on the gospel. But the second reading was so interesting. It was Revelations, and it's talking about when heaven and earth only there, it's a new world, and that there are no seas, there are just God and his people. And it's hard to understand how that's going to be. There will be no more death and no mourning. I'm sure you can explain that because you're very knowledgeable.
Well, actually, Revelations, according to Catholic scholarship, is really about what's happening right now. Like, the kingdom of God is here now, you know? And I think that we often, especially now we just came out of the passion and death of Jesus and the resurrection, and we lose sight of the fact that his passion was really about the resurrection. That was really the primary thing. And the idea was for us to be living in the resurrection and in the spirit now, here and now, on earth as it is in heaven, you know, the Our Father, on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
And we always think of Jesus dying so we could go to heaven. Well, that's part of it, but that certainly wasn't the whole thing. The whole thing was that we could claim authority here and now for the abundant life, the resurrected life that the Lord wants us to walk in. And if we really got that, we'd all be so happy.
So now, how can we claim this authority? I mean, what's the secret? Is it a secret?
Yeah.
How does this thing work?
Declaring, decreeing, and proclaiming what God has already ordained in the heavens, declaring life over ourselves when we pray, over our loved ones when we pray. So therefore, Scripture tells us in Romans 4 to call down what is not yet on earth, as though it were, because actually, in God's time, it's Kairos time. God is now, present, past and future all at once. We think of linear time. But what God has ordained up in heaven is already there. But we have been given free will. I don't know why in the world, but that free will, of course, it's because so we can have a real relationship with the Lord. But that free will is what allows us to call down from heaven what God has already provided. It's done. So instead of saying, "Dear Lord, please help Johnny to turn from his ways and to stop taking drugs and to start listening to the people around him and seek guidance," instead of praying like that, which is fine, but that's kind of prayer 101, we have to be promoted, especially in this day and age when we're in so much trouble and are with the world.
Step it up.
We have to step it up right. We have to raise the bar and pray in authority, Tony, and that's the word you're using. We have to take the authority that Jesus Christ went to a horrific death to get us, and nobody knows enough to take it. We don't learn it. We don't learn enough about how do you take that authority. That was a great question. You take that authority by saying, "In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that even now Johnny is an obedient kid, that even now Johnny's turning from drugs, that you're setting in place people, visitations from heaven, people and places that are going to be moved around and shift so that he's going to have the experiences that he needs. And he's having them even now, and I thank you, Father, for that." Mm-hmm. Like when I pray for my husband, I don't ask the Lord to heal him, like as in, "God, please let Dave walk really great again." I say, "Lord, I thank you that you are right now, at this moment, breathing life into Dave's limbs, that you're allowing him to walk, even if that day that's not showing up. It is showing up in heaven, and we have to pull it down.
I call it fake it till you make it.
So when it says there shall be no more death, that actually means the resurrection is showing us what our life is.
Exactly.
What our life and death will be. There is no death. We're going.
Well, it also is a precursor of heaven and of eternity.
Yeah.
But we miss so often that this world is what Jesus died for also.
Right.
He died to give us abundant life here.
Right.
We're supposed
right.
to walk in abundance here. You know, and whatever that abundance is for you specifically, I'm not talking about financial material.
Yeah.
That could be part of it. And that's great if that's part of God's will for you. But to line ourselves up with God's will. And am I talking too fast?
No.
Because I get very excited about this topic because when we...
All that you need, all that is good. All that supports you.
Right, exactly.
Abundance,
whatever it is that you, one size doesn't fit all in the kingdom. Everybody has their own needs, and everybody's going to tune into.
That's an amazing statement. That one size doesn't fit all.
Not in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
No. It's got to be the fit for you, and that's why spiritual direction is so important. But what I love is like. In therapy, to say to people, you know, as soon as those negative thoughts come, you're lining yourself up with Satan if you build your tent there. Like, yes, they're going to come, but we can't build our tent there and camp out with them. The depression, the defeat, the discouragement, the despair, all that stuff is Satan's plan. So we have to delete, and move into the realm of God and pull out what he's got up there ready for us. For this situation, he's not up there wringing his hands saying, oh no, I can't believe that they had this happen. He's already got it equipped.
He's got it under control.
Got it under control. We have to call it down. And that takes trust, not in trust that God's going to work everything out the way we want, but trust in God. Trust in hope. The hope is never in a person. Whether you're in a relationship, in marriage, whether it's a kid, whatever it is, your career, the hope is always in Jesus Christ. That's the only
Absolutely.
Way it works.
Joan.
Only way it works. He's the only one that's not going to betray you. And everybody really does ultimately betray everybody. It's just part of life.
That's a great statement. You know, Joan just pointed a finger at me as you were talking.
Sorry.
And I guess that was a lesson for me that she pointed the
exactly,
finger.
Exactly.
Why? Can you explain?
Well, because of depression and thinking that what you have now is so terrible. And God has a plan for you. He's already got this done. It's healed. It's taken care of.
And I want to talk about that as far as being the negative in your life. It doesn't come like a big scary monster that you can see. It's those little whispers.
Wow.
Those little tiny
right.
thoughts that start building. Like, I'm never going to get better. This is always how it's going to
and
be.
And that's what's happening.
That's
and
happening
it becomes bigger and larger, and those are the worst. That is evil. It's so, you know, so much of our life, taking up so much of our life.
And do you know St. Paul has a word for that in Scripture?
No.
He calls that the fiery darts. He says that persecution is bad when it comes from other people, but the fiery darts they bring us down are exactly what Daniel's talking about.
Yeah, that right.
And it's easier for us to know evil when it's so clear and we know ISIS.
Right.
We see it. But when we have evil in our lives, and you know, maybe that's a strong word, but the negativity, that's hard to define. It's hard to witness and see and grasp it. It's just, you know, we just start going, I'm always going to be late. I'm always going to hit red lights. I'm never prepared.
It's a word curse.
And then also, you know, I go to work and I just say, I'm smart. I can do this. My hair is going to look great. I'm so happy with my makeup and I'm going to have wonderful words. I'm hoping and praying, but just trying to start a positive dialogue instead of a negative dialogue.
Because what you're doing, it's not a magic trick, because what she's doing is she's declaring God the Father's will over her life.
Right. I know that's what God
that's
wants
what she's pulling
exactly.
down.
Exactly.
That's very encouraging.
And I think you need to do that.
Yeah,
yours.
That's very encouraging because my motto in life, and I tell everybody this, and I tell the priest the same thing, Jesus never lets me down.
That's right.
And now that I'm going through certain situations, I know he's not going to let me down.
Amen.
Amen. And I know that he's going to be with me. And I'm just hoping that I'm not letting him down, to be honest with you. And that's, I'm spilling my guts out to you, to tell you the truth. My biggest fear is that I know that Jesus is not going to let me down. And when I scripture and I journal with Jesus, you know, and I get that many times, you know, when have I ever let you down? When have I ever let you down? No, Jesus, you have never let me down. So what's your problem here?
I say the same thing?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
It's so great, Tony, for you to share that, because there's so many of us, all of us, that have the same feelings, the same thoughts of, am I letting myself down? Am I letting my family down? Am I letting God down? And it's so good for you to share that, because I'm sure people think, well, Tony's got it all together. Tony's a man of faith.
No.
And it's nice to know that even people of great faith have moments of darkness, but that you can work through it.
And my famous statement that I love to say, and now it's starting to hit into me, is that, you know, Jesus never lets me down. He has never let me down all these years. I'm an old man. This is a long time now.
But you know that when you have those moments like of desolation,
consolation.
It will come back. You won't feel like that
so I think
the next day.
That's what I have to look forward to.
Well, let's look at David in the scripture.
I'm just going to... Yes.
David's Psalms are filled with his acknowledgement of how miserable he is. You know, he's a great character for us, because sometimes people, when I teach this idea of declaring what God's life is over us and pulling down life over and prophesying life over us, people get the wrong impression and they feel like they can never say anything is wrong. And that's super spiritual. You can't live like that. As a therapist, I'm saying that. David was great. David told the Lord everything that was wrong. He said, this is horrible. I feel like you threw me in a pit. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, my eyes have been blinded. Why don't you just pull my heart out too? But then at the end, what does he do? He always says, however, nevertheless. That's the key word in Christian life. Nevertheless, in spite of everything, I know that you love me. And that's why Jesus, Yahweh said, you have a heart after mine.
And that's what carries you on.
Right.
You know what? I don't even know if I should be saying this to you, but that's what saved me when I first met you.
Yeah.
And
it was her charming smile.
Besides her charming smile, besides her knowledge of the Bible and the readings, but there was something about, like, you were able to penetrate, not my soul, my heart, maybe.
Oh, what we were speaking about before.
What
when
was
you
that?
Meet someone who, when they talk, you feel it in your heart.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's, I'm spilling my guts out. I don't know if I should be doing this, but that's what, that's why Joan and I spoke after we first met you, and he says, you know, we'd love to have her on the show on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, if we could do it, and because she projects the inner feelings of what the scriptures really all about.
She makes them come alive.
Yeah, you make them sort of like come alive. And I know, it's just something about you that does it.
I'm eating this up. I love it.
I love it.
I love that
she's so, with, you know, all my sisters and brothers, and, you know, we're kind of like, oh, God, oh, gosh, my mom.
But there's another side of her that I do want to mention with Living Waters.
Yes.
Now, I have to tell you this. I'm not taking any credit, but I have recommended people to you. And I have not, there isn't one person that I've recommended, and Joni will attest to it, that hasn't you know, as a counselor, as someone to be, you could talk to, that hasn't come back and said to me, under no uncertain terms, she is terrific. She is practically exactly what I was hoping for. So you're out there.
And I think that that's pretty much what happens with all of us over there, because all the counselors hear that, because mm-hmm. we bring the Lord in. It's not just secular counseling, you know, we all bring in the Lord. And that's such a refreshing, and a lot of people don't even want it, and they don't expect it, and you kind of have to do it through the back door. But once they get it, they're like, oh, wait a minute, there's something that happens that's different here.
Mm-hmm. There's something,
and that's, you know what, that's what happens.
Something a little different here.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the word that I get when people, you know, I love it when people stop me in church or conferences and say that they listen to the radio show. By the way, if you ever tell me that, I hug you. if you ever tell me I listen to your radio show, I give you a big hug. But I love it. And then when they say, and that recommendation is really great, it makes me feel a little good.
Yeah, well, as you know, Cara Rubano, the founder of Living mm-hmm. Waters, that was her heart's desire, her passion was to bring Christ into therapy.
And that's what she
that's
does.
What we're doing.
You guys are doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing, right.
And I also think that a person who has true faith, that a sincerity of faith, touches people's hearts.
That's right.
It's the sincerity yes. of your faith. Mm-hmm. Because we know we'll listen to preachers or other people, and maybe it doesn't touch your heart, but when someone has that sincerity and really lives the faith,
right,
and that's how you
can. And so
it's the real deal.
Yeah. It's the real. I was just yeah. you're gonna say that. Yeah. It's the real deal, but it penetrates your heart when you become connected with someone that has the real deal and has the real faith. Now, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but Ed, your husband's name is Ed, right?
David.
He's also a deacon.
Yes, he is.
So, I mean, this love of Jesus and this love for faith and this love, it's not just isolated into, encapsulated into one human being.
Right.
This is spread.
Right.
Many other souls.
And we have a four foot Sacred Heart gold Jesus in our
dining room.
Is that right? Oh, that's beautiful.
Is it 4 feet or five?
I think it's maybe 6 feet.
Growing.
So, you know, so
I never thought about it. People would come over, you know, friends would come over and they'd say, what is that? You know. Wow, you have a big gold Jesus in your
house. But
and I was yeah.
But it actually penetrates and actually dispels the love that's coming out of your family to Jesus, and there's no doubt about that. And I see it too. I have never had the pleasure of meeting your husband yet. Hopefully I will someday. But I have had the pleasure of meeting your daughter, and I could see that it all comes out of this family thing.
Yeah, well, we got to get you to over for Sunday dinner, you two.
Thank you.
That's quite an experience.
Every Sunday.
It's not my grandmother's Sunday dinner.
Every Sunday?
Yeah, every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
They don't have to come. They show up if they want. But the Lord, you know, told us during the Holy Year, which was, I think, the year 2000. Now we have a Holy Year again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told us to have Sunday dinner. And, you know, of course, my original concept was, oh, it's going to be my grandmother's Sunday dinner. China and silverware and people sitting nicely
Chinese
at the
food.
Table.
Paper plates.
Yeah, that's where we're... But you know what? We have it.
We just have it.
Really?
Right. Yeah. And it works, mm-hmm. as you know. Yeah. But I think it's a great place. And it's not always the...
My
you know, it's purgatory.
Looks forward to it. My 16-year-old daughter, who barely speaks to me, you know, on days.
I mean, comes to the end of me,
you know, looks at her phone and says, "Mom, are we going to Sunday dinner? Are we going to Grandma's for Sunday dinner?" And I look at her like,
yeah, and believe me, we have a crazy family. I tried to, in fact, capture it.
About the table.
The table is,
well, I interrupted, but
it's very long. The table. And AJ, my son-in-law, went to Medjugorje, and he got all the pieces of the table there, and he brought home icons that they had made in Medjugorje of the rosaries, of the Mysteries of the Rosary. He brought back a Last Supper, and he embedded it all in it,
wow.
And we got scriptures all over the table. It's quite a table.
Wow. It's a special table.
It's a special table, but, you know, we're all just regular.
You can't get it out of the room.
Is that right?
And it'll never come out.
But we're all crazy people around that table, and, you know, we bring our messes and our brokenness and our confusion, but we kind of say, you know what? What I was going to talk about today, actually, love is a decision. Love is not loving perfect people. Love is a decision constantly, as you guys know.
Funny you should mention that, because the next song that we wanted to play was Testify to the Love.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Can we play it?
Yes.
I think that's what
the Holy Spirit is leading this talk.
He sure is.
Every dream that reaches out to find the love he gave. Every word of every story, every star in every sky, every corner of creation lives and tales to find. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love, be a witness to the signs, and the words of love. With every breath I take, we'll give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
Testify to the love. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the scriptures. There are certain fundamental ramifications on the scriptures that maybe you can enlighten our listeners that probably they're not that familiar with.
Okay, sure.
The writers of the scriptures and What is this all about?
Can I talk about the gospel?
Oh, absolutely, okay, yes. Today's okay. Gospel, yes.
Okay, I'd like to talk about
that's
the gospel.
That's exactly what I was leading up to.
Oh, thank you. And, well, you know, in this gospel scene, Judas has just left. It's the Last Supper, and Judas has just left. And Jesus predicts Peter's denial, and then he is kind of giving his farewell speech. They don't really understand that, but this is kind of his goodbye to them. And what he's saying is, I'm leaving you, but, you know, I'm not really. And the big thing is that I'm giving you a new commandment. And we hear the commandment, we think, what's so new about that? It's a new commandment. The commandment is love one another. Here's the new part. As I have loved you. Now, that's a big deal, because up until that time, there are four basic loves, according to C.S. Lewis. Did a great classic. More into scripture, there's four basic loves. And C.S. Lewis did a great classic on that called The Four Loves. And the loves that people were familiar with up until that point, when Jesus said, love each other as I love you, were, number one, it's called storge, the Greek word for it, S-T-O-R-G, and that is affection. That's human affection. Affection we would show one another, neighbors, animals, you know, it's just that kind of feeling-driven sense of wanting to hug somebody or, you know, just be kind and sit and talk to someone who needs it. That's just kind of like a very basic expression of our love. And a lot of times people get in trouble because they mix up these kinds of loves. The second one is, of course, eros, which is our sensual love. And the sensual love doesn't necessarily encapsulate the laying down your life and dying for someone else love, but it's a love. It's a real love. It has, you know, all kinds of, as you said, ramifications. So eros, storge, and then we get to philia, which is probably the one you're most, well, maybe you're familiar with it through Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philia is brotherly love, sisterly love, and that's the one that comes most natural to us all. So that's the kinds of love that they understood, and we still understand them. We still have affection and eros and philia. But the love he talked about was agape love. Okay, now that's different, A-G-A-P-E. Because agape love is love not based on feeling and affection. It's love not based on brotherly and sisterly ties. You know, it's not love based on the sexual dimension. All those can be components of it, but agape is decision. It's a decision to love, and that is the highest form of love. So when people come in marriage dilemmas and they say, sometimes they'll say, well, I just don't feel like I love him. Who cares? I'm like, really? You know, that's not supposed to be the enduring quality here. We start out like that, but we're supposed to end up laying our lives down for one another in a decision moment. And we all know that even as parents, maybe that's the closest some of us come to it. When, you know, you don't want to do something loving, you don't want to say something loving, but we make a decision. So when Jesus says, love one another as I loved you, he's talking about nothing less than laying down and dying for that person. And I really mean dying to your ego, dying to your needs, dying to everything in your life that says you need this and you need that. Just constantly, Jesus wants to kill us. I mean, let's face it, that's what he does. He kills our ego constantly. Right. Lovingly kills our ego. And that's what it's all about.
So,
decision. It's like a mother's love for a baby. I think that type of love.
Right. You have to make a decision.
Yeah. For her child, what she'll do for that child.
Yeah. It's all decision.
Yeah.
So Jesus is trying to spread the word of his love and his mercy for all of us.
Right.
And so he's already convinced us, I think, that
Especially in this year,
there's nothing he wouldn't do for us, even giving up his life and suffering for
us. Right, and we've got to be willing to do that for each other.
And we have to be willing to do that for each other.
Yeah, right. Be laid down lovers. I like to call it being a laid down lover. I heard that expression years ago and I loved it, because that's what he calls us to be.
A laid down lover.
Laid down lovers. I wouldn't be doing any loving, caring, kindness, anything, if it was based on my feelings. Because most of the time my feelings are to hide under the bed somewhere and never come out. But, you know, it's a decision. It's a decision.
Now you have...
Like Sunday dinner.
Like Sunday dinner.
Well, that's purgatory. That's really
good. I could tell in her heart she loves it.
She likes entertainment.
That's a tradition that will live on.
I love it too, but I would have to order because I can't stand there to cook anymore, you know? It's just too much for me.
Well, we wing it. Which is fun. It's kind of a fun thing.
But I love to have everybody together.
Okay. So tell me.
And a lot of times we order out.
Yeah.
I tell her, call the guy.
Call the guy.
Call the guy.
Can I give my book a little...
Yes, let's talk about that.
So on Amazon, thank you. Sunday Dinner, it's called. And it's the Ella Francinella series. We have our next one coming out soon. And it's a children's book about children's fears. So look it up. Got the Sunday dinner theme.
Where do you get it, from Amazon?
Amazon.
It's great. Wow. It's my nieces, my nephews, my kids, all that happens under the table.
Is that right?
Sunday dinner.
Is that right?
And all the fun things.
I didn't know you had a book. I wish I would have known that.
We had the kids always under the table.
Yeah.
It's great. My brother is the illustrator.
Oh, wait a minute, I did know. I gave those books away. I think I bought 35 of them.
Yeah, you did. I weren't going to say anything. Yeah. Maybe you would buy another
book. Yeah. I remember the book.
My son, David Peter Campbell, is the illustrator. It's been one of the most wonderful experiences to have, you know.
Why don't you read, just say a quick line from it.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the opening part. Lizzie Letitia and Francie LaRue were at Sunday dinner enjoying their stew.
Say it slow. Lizzie Letitia's one of our characters.
Ella Francinella was using the table as her umbrella while Lizzie Letitia and Francie LaRue were at Sunday dinner enjoying their stew. Let's sing some rhymes, said Lizzie Letitia, while we're waiting for our barbecue dish. Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the, she wants to say clock, but Ella Leo's out, French fry! Ella Francinella sitting under her table umbrella. Francie LaRue is in a big stew, right? She's very upset with this. And then it goes on and on again, how Ella keeps yelling out French fry. Every time they want to say, hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock, Ella goes, French fry, French fry. And then finally Lizzie loses it and says, French fry, French fry, French fry, French fry. Ella Francis, no, that's a great big lie. And then it goes into fears, and it's just a lighthearted way of dealing with it.
Wow, that's wonderful.
It's so fun.
Now, and so real, by the way. I didn't write, I just listened to them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It sounds like something that my son's little boy said one time. I always think to them, you are my sunshine. And I said, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. And he gets to the point of sunshine and he says, my only banana.
Right,
well,
exactly.
You're going to be on the show again, you promised.
Yes, sir.
We're going to try to make this a regular feature.
I'm the driver.
You too. But we would love to make this a regular feature with the two of you. Really would.
Okay.
And because I think that's something that people will be looking forward to talk about the gospel, to talk about the readings, and to get a little bit more insight.
I was just going to say insight.
You get more insight on what is this Bible all about? What does this really mean? I mean, is there no other word than the Bible? Is it that the Bible is the word? And this is what I would like to start to be in a grassroots program, start to penetrating out there.
Absolutely. I love it.
Okay. We got a deal?
Yeah, we got a deal.
We're shaking hands. Listeners, we're shaking hands.
And also just say that you do the Bible study at St. Francis.
Yes, I know about that.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Let's talk about that.
Wednesdays
at St. Francis Church in Greenlawn.
Every
we
Wednesday.
Have a Bible study every Wednesday at 10:30 or 11, I guess now. We have a prayer meeting at 10:30. And then we have, I'm going to be doing some talks at North Hills Country Club. I've been doing that and different places in the country.
So we'll be
so
mentioning that.
Available for your parties. I'm a booking agent. A driver and a booking agent.
Yeah. So we'll be talking more about that.
Okay.
Because I do know a lot of people that do go to your Joni. That's how Joan found out about you. You went to one of her talks,
yeah.
And she
North
was
Hills. At North Hills. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And she was very impressed with it.
I went with Denise one time. And
oh, okay. Okay. All right, we're running out of time, I think. Thank you, listeners.
Oh, my goodness.
Lord, we ask that we lift up all the petitions that we have in front of us.
Amen.
That you cure them, you help them, you guide them. We thank you for sending us your listeners. And we ask that you fill their hearts with the love for you, Jesus, and you allow us to be with the Holy Spirit. And we thank, what a mother-daughter team.
Aww.
We thank you guys
thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great week. Yeah.
We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're big, we're big fans of your radio show, your TV show.
Thank you.
Oh, that was so much fun.
That came so fast, the ending. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.